Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. I'm just listening to the music, guys. The intro music is kicking. We're ready for Chris Fengler, Coach Chris Fengler, strength and conditioning coach for the Denver Outlaws, part two of segment one. It's a good day for lacrosse with the host JoJo Wardrummer on the Outlaws War Party. Yeah. Man.
Bad.
Hey, you guys, so last Wednesday on the show in segment two on Outlaws War Party with Chris Fengler, strength and conditioning coach for the Denver Outlaws, the Major League Lacrosse champions, defending champions, defending and reigning champions, actually. We got a hold of Chris, Coach Chris, and he talked a little bit about this past season and a little bit about the upcoming season now. But we're going to talk a little bit more in-depth about this upcoming season and also what he does with high school out here and what he does with youth out here. So he does a little bit of, Black Swarm Radio experience, right, from youth to the pros and everything in between. Without further ado, you guys, man, let's all my lax peeps, let's get Chris Fengler, strength and conditioning coach for the defending champions, Major League Lacrosse, holding that Steinfeld trophy, baby.
How you doing, JoJo?
Okay, brother. How about you?
Doing great. We got training camp this weekend. We're getting pretty excited for it and pretty pumped up.
I bet, man. Are you guys going to be doing it at a new facility this year as opposed to years past or what?
We are. We are going to be at the new Broncos training facility out at Dove Valley. We are owned by Pat Bowen and his organization, so they've graciously welcomed us into Dove Valley where the Denver Broncos practice, and we'll be holding a two-day training camp out there, both Saturday and Sunday this weekend, and we've got 40 guys coming to the tryouts and to the training camp.
Wow. Dude, that's very cool. So in case, like, everybody didn't know and stuff like that, if you've been hiding under a rock somehow, you know, and I'm talking about the crossball rock. how's our boy John Bolin doing?
He's doing all right. He's doing well. He's a big supporter and loves that we finally brought home the Steinfeld Cup. So, you know, lots of smiles. We definitely celebrated the championship well, but we know that 2014 is behind us. 2015 is a new league, a new team, new organization. So we're going to try and do our best to defend it, but earn it again.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good way to put it, man. And to do that, now that we have the Steinfeld Trophy in the Mile High City and everybody's going to be gunning for us, what are you doing to prep the guys that don't know about how the pros prep?
Well, I can't give you all my secrets, but I'll tell you, we're definitely trying to shore up some of our gaps. We've got some new personnel coming in. Obviously, Lee Zink retiring is a big impact on us. So we're going to try and fill his shoes, and he set such a great precedent for us that we're going to try and fill his spot. And, I'd say the best thing is work on your speed and your stick skills at any level, and you'll be a better lacrosse player.
That's true. And everybody, in case you didn't know, Coach Chris Fengler is the guy to do it. Coach, so talking about Lee Zink retiring, how does one fill his shoes? I mean, can it be done? I believe, yes, it could be done. But his style was a little bit unique compared to other styles, like as opposed to Matt Bocklet and stuff, which is a good contrast for each other. You know what I mean? So is there anybody that's willing to fill that role, or is anybody able to fill that role this coming season, do you think, at least somewhat?
I would say it's kind of tough to fill an individual's spot. One thing I like about lacrosse is the creativity that the sport allows. We're not as regimented as a football receiver. We're not as fixed in a situation. It's really kind of the expression of the athlete. And Lee is just what comes to mind is Quiet Riot. He's such a quiet individual, but he brings such a passion and aggression to the sport. Matt Bockwood is probably one of the most academic guys I've ever coached. But Dylan Roy, I would definitely say, is another candidate for that Quiet Riot mentality. And coming in is one of my favorite athletes to train, Ken Clausen, who is definitely not quiet, but still brings the riot. So, you know, I think each year and each team has got its own unique character, and part of coaching, part of training is finding that individual team spirit. So, like I said, 2014 was a great year. But we've got new players, new components, and we've got to find what that character is going to be successful in the MLL.
Awesome. And speaking of Ken Clausen, number 27, his injury is he's recuperating quite well. Do you see him being like a Lee Zink style, but with a mixture of like a Matt Bockwood kind of style?
He is his own athlete. I mean, when he was at Virginia, he used to just get fired up and so excited on the sidelines and just get the other team fired up. And I know Chris Bocklet used to have nightmares about it because every time he got the other team fired up, they'd take it out on Chris. But Ken definitely brings a lot of heart, a lot of intensity, and I know he's very, very excited to get back on the field. Last year was a great stepping stone for Ken. Coming off of his ACL injury and getting back on the field was a good goal for him. This year he wants to contribute a lot more, and we've been really focusing on his contributions on the field, how he wants to make the 2015 season meaningful to himself and to the Outlaws. So pretty excited to see what Ken's got going on.
Yeah, I'm totally excited for him. I really like his style, especially even as of late. He's even better than what he was before by a lot even. And that's saying something, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, he's one of the favorite guys. He's the first one at every training camp and first one at every training session. And he gets up early, and there's been some couple of times that we've been at Mile High Stadium, and at 5:45, he's in there on the treadmill running at a high clip and getting ready to work out before we even hit the field. So he'll be a good guy to watch this year. And, again, Matt is one of the most academic lacrosse players. He went to Johns Hopkins, and he is hands down, just a very academic lacrosse player that I'm excited to coach with at Highlands Ranch and to work with on the Outlaws program.
Yeah, so we're definitely going to get on that Highlands Ranch and the youth doco as well. Before we get to that, Coach, can you attribute yourself to because Matt Bockwood, his calves have grown over the past couple of years. Does he have to credit that to you?
I'd like to think so. We do a lot of core work. We do a lot of leg work. You know, lacrosse is a great blend of speed and athleticism. And the training we do, you know, one thing I say to all my athletes, if I make you stronger and bigger, I better not make you slower. So every time I put a pound of muscle on those guys, I try and shave off a tenth of a second on their 40. So I don't think strength and speed are mutually exclusive. Matt has really dedicated himself to working out, and I think it shows in his performance. And he's a lot of fun to be around because he knows so much about the game, and he's going to celebrate his, I think, ninth year playing professional lacrosse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very cool, man. Thank you for keeping him in good health, Coach. Hey, Coach, also let everybody know about your Syracuse. And why did you choose Denver to move to? And did you have any history in Denver prior to Syracuse? Let the people know.
Oh, I'm actually a Denver native. Went to East High School, graduated for John Barocas, and then went out to Syracuse. I know you're interviewing, I think, Casey Powell later or some SU alumni. So shout out to those guys. I did an interview earlier today for Peter McCartney, who's playing for the Orange right now. And they take on Notre Dame, who I hope they stick it to. But, no, I'm a Denver native and went out to Syracuse to try my hand at the big game and was humbled very quickly playing with guys like Roy Colesley and Rick Beardsley. And it was fun learning from that program and that team and coming back to Colorado and sharing that experience. So definitely a case of a small fish in a big pond growing up.
Awesome, awesome. And hopefully, we're hoping, Casey hasn't got back to us yet. Hopefully Casey gets back to us. But we do have, LB3, fellow Syracuse alumni, and, and MLL Houston and everything right there. Everybody, this is It's a Good Day for Lacrosse with JoJo War Drummer. And we are in segment one, Outlaws War Party, part two with Chris Spangler, strength and conditioning coach for the world champions lacrosse, MLL. Denver Outlaws. Hey, Coach, so let's talk a little bit about, how can we say, you touched up a little bit about Highlands Rats and such. I mean, we're going to transition a little bit over to my segment to LAX Youth Nation, but let everybody know about Highlands Ranch Lacrosse.
Oh, Highlands Ranch is in southern Denver. We are in the Douglas County School District. We're one of nine programs in the area. In that location of the city, we play in the 5A State Conference, and it's a great upcoming program. Matt Bocklet is the head coach, so there's days that Matt's got to take orders from me, and there's days I got to take orders from Matt Bocklet. So it's kind of a fun way to give back and way to promote youth lacrosse or high school lacrosse, and it's pretty exciting. I mean, obviously there's a lot of top teams and top talent that come out of Colorado, Regis, East, Kent, Creek, all those good programs, but, Highlands Ranch is on the way up. We've got a very young team this year. We've got all starting defense, which I know is driving nuts, all freshmen starting defense, which is driving Matt nuts, but a couple years from now, I think Highlands Ranch will be making some waves.
Very, very cool, man. I'm glad to see that the high school is getting better and better out here in Colorado. I mean, I'm sure everywhere it's getting better and better. But what do you rank from your days, which was not too long ago, actually, going to Syracuse and, as you said, being humbled with the Syracuse guys, compare like the Colorado players now compared to the Colorado players back just a few short years ago compared to the Eastern players?
Right. I would say the biggest difference from my day, and you're being generous, my day was quite a while ago, but Colorado was good at producing good athletes who happened to pick up sticks. Guys like Christian Cook played at Princeton, won a national championship. Guys were really athletic, and Colorado was known for making long stick middies. We could make guys who were fast and strong, but we didn't have the opportunity to make offensive threats. And now we have guys like Eric Law, who are homegrown, played at Arapahoe, spent a lot of time learning how to shoot, doing a lot of, offensive movement, and are, succeeded at the University of Denver, and now are playing for the Outlaws. So I'd say the biggest shift is Colorado used to make long stick middies and defenders that were really athletic. We're starting to finally crack the shooters and the stick handlers and the guys who can carry the ball a little better the way, Canadians can, the way East Coast players learn to play the game. So we're starting to get some footholds in some areas of lacrosse that we never had before.
Yeah, awesome. And then what about the other brother now, besides Chris Bocklet, besides Matt Bocklet, the two standout professional lacrosse players?
I said two is enough. Two Bocklets is enough on a team. But, yeah, we added a third one at the open tryouts. We got Mike Bocklet now. So three Bocklets is a lot. I don't know what's next. Do we bring our little sister Casey on, as a coach or equipment manager? I'm not quite sure. But, yeah, it's a lot of Bocklets to have in one program. I know they're excited. I know Chris and Matt are very excited to have their brother. And he'll get a chance to showcase his offensive powers this weekend, so it'll be fun.
Very, very, very cool. Yeah, speaking of Casey's doing quite well in her college days right now. I remember meeting her a few years ago, and she's a humble person as well, even though she's a standout player.
She is. She's playing at UVA right now, and it's kind of funny seeing Matt and Chris and myself huddled over a screen watching Casey get a game-winning goal for UVA or doing really well. So the lady UVA team is doing well this year. I think they've got a pretty big game coming up, and I can't believe I actually cheer for UVA being a Syracuse alumnus, but sometimes I'm excited for them.
yeah, understandable. And I agree. I'm from L.A., but I'm living in Denver now, so I root for Denver all the way, as you know that, of course.
Absolutely. Cool. Love having you drum on the sidelines.
Oh, thank you, Coach. Oh, wow. Okay. That means a lot to me, you know, when I get a thank you like that. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
See,
thank you.
You're welcome. Coach, and I'm glad it brings out an extra burst of energy for you and the guys, too, you know, while they're playing everything. You know, every chance we get in the professional league to get that extra burst of energy, I'm glad it's happening.
Oh, I appreciate it. Coach. It's fun, and it's been a blessing.
Yeah, great. And plus great entertainment. Helps great entertainment, too, for the fans on TV and on the sideline. But, Coach, talk about Top Valley. Do you think that you guys, the Denver Outlaws, have, how can they say it here, right? Like, because, of course, they're a player is a player, a team is a team, a coach is a coach, and the fans are the fans. But what do you think that Mr. Pat Bowlen, Mr. Mac Freeman, and Mr. John Bowlen bring, letting you guys go into Dove Valley where the Broncos practice and everything like that? How does that sense of morale come about for just the whole camaraderie of the whole thing for you guys, as opposed to maybe the other teams don't get to have that?
Well, Pat Bowlen is just a class act all around. Being a native of Colorado, native of Denver, I've been a Denver Broncos fan since I was a little kid. And the fact that he gave Mac Freeman the chance to start a professional lacrosse team, and the support that the Broncos organization has provided to us, access to the stadium, access to the training facility, has been absolutely amazing. I know when visiting teams come here and they see the fans, they see the crowd, we have the largest 4th of July celebration. We do fireworks. I mean, you couldn't ask for anything better in your home state. And the fact that the Bowlen family and organization allow us to do the Outlaw program in their facilities is just, I can't thank them enough. I was lucky enough to win a state championship for Arapahoe in 2009 and got to meet Mr. Bowlen. And from there on, he's always been such a class act towards me. And the fact that he's such a lacrosse supporter has been just amazing. So big shout out to the Bowlen family and the Broncos organization for tolerating us coming in and using their facilities and having us, you know, this weekend in Dove Valley is going to be pretty exciting.
So that is way, way totally exciting, man. I got to make it down there sometime and get you guys on my little Wardrummer TV or something, man. Get you guys on the sideline, too, for the practices.
Absolutely. You know, I think if we can get you out to training camp drumming, it might increase the intensity.
Yeah, I dig it. I think we can make that happen sometime down in the very near future, yeah? Let's do it, Chris. Let's do it, Coach.
Thank you, JoJo. I look forward to seeing you on the sideline.
Yes, same here. Thank you. Hey, Coach, so what about DOCO and the youth lacrosse?
Well, every community that I'm involved in, DOCO or Cougars or Panthers, it's always a great way to give back. It doesn't pay very well, and it's not about the money. It's about giving back to the kids. And having them play lacrosse coached by guys like Matt Bocklet, Ken Clausen, Dylan Roy, Eric Law, all those guys that play for City Lax and DOCO and all that stuff has been great. And I would say that's the one difference that has, in the years past, separated us from the East Coast. We didn't have All-Americans coaching 6- and 7-year-olds, and now we do. And that's a great thing that I think Colorado's stepping up to do. And DOCO's part of that organization, Matt Bocklet, and Brian Langtree, a former Outlaw, are head of that organization and coaching the DOCO team. It's a lot of fun. We travel to a lot of tournaments year-round, and it's a great way to get involved.
Very cool, very good. I'm glad you're a part of that. And let's talk a little bit about former Denver Outlaws players, maybe even from its inception until before you were actually finally inside, you know, being the strength and conditioning coach. What's few players that you could think of that you would love to have been their strength and conditioning coach while playing for the Denver Outlaws?
I don't know if he's not a former player, but the player that I think would be someone that I would like to have a strength and conditioning coach is Anthony Kelly, our face-off guy. That guy is a beast. He is a machine. I mean, just big and strong and athletic and nimble, and I think he would make a fantastic strength and conditioning coach for any organization. He's a awesome teammate. He's a great professional, and he's just, you know, just one of those guys that makes everyone around him better.
Coach, I love your answer, but check this out, a little different twist on here. Who would you yourself like to have had been the strength and conditioning coach for? For example, like Brian Langtree or Jeff
oh.
Supersonic Sankey.
That's a good question. I would say probably Sean McCarthy, Denver East High School head coach, and I love his Hofstra mentality. I think he'd be a fun person to have in that position.
Okay. I personally think that Sean McCarthy could still come in here and just in the NLL and any team and wreck just crazy havoc on any player that he's playing against, any player.
I agree. I got a great picture of him from this summer at lacrosse camp. He still has the intensity and still has the fire for the sport, which is awesome to see.
I wish he was still playing, Coach, man, because that dude's a bad dude, man.
He is, but he's probably one of the nicest guys I know, and he's a gentle giant. Mm-hmm. So he's a great guy to have on the field.
Very, very, very cool, Coach. So what are you going to do when that Steinfeld Trophy and people are trying to knock on the Denver Outlaws door? What are you going to do to your team to tell them, as far as like, don't worry, you got this?
I would say have faith in the coaching staff, have faith in the organization, and have faith in the training that they're getting. I mean, these guys are consummate professionals, and they know how to get the job done. I think it's going to be an adjustment for a lot of guys, and they're going to have to do things they haven't done before. But I think preparing for it is going to be essential, and how they continue on in late July and early August is going to be the difference between second place and bringing home the trophy again.
Very, very, very cool, Coach Spangler. And one more question before you go. Okay, this is like one of my JoJo's hidden trick questions.
Oh, yeah.
What do you do? Okay. What do you do when the other team, how can I say, is like injured right in front of if another team is injured in front of your bench?
What do I do?
Yeah, like say Max Sebold, a former teammate, somehow like another player like goes down in front of the Outlaws bench. Do you help out and then wait for the opposing guy to come to? I'm just talking about sportsmanship. Are you allowed to do that?
No, it's a great question. That's a great question, and I'll tell you my answer because it happens a lot, actually. I don't care if it's youth or college or high school or pros. I turn to the ref, and I ask him if I can step on the field, and I run over and assist that player. I don't care what color their jersey is. We do this for a great game, and we do it because we love the sport. And when someone gets injured, which unfortunately happens in our game, but because we play it with such passion and such intensity, I run out there and I like being one of the first people I'm seeing, and I like helping them out and getting them back to neutral. It's one of the things that really motivates me as a coach and as a player, is the brotherhood that we celebrate. So while I'm competitive, I also have the other side of the coin of caring for both my teammates and the other team. It is a celebration of the sport, and anytime that tragedy does happen, someone gets hurt, gets injured, not a question in my mind. I run out and help that person. I don't care what jersey they're wearing. The color of their jersey is not as big as the passion for the sport itself.
Perfect. Perfect, Coach. Man, I'm looking forward to hitting you guys up at Death Valley. Looking forward to talking with you personally again and for the Denver Outlaws upcoming season. Your answers are perfect, man. And any words of advice? I have MLL Houston that's about to jump on the horn. Any words of advice to MLL Houston and even MLL Atlanta about what do they need to do to get a team franchise?
Well, I'm sure they know it. Sam Chambers is a Houston high school coach down in at St. John's High School. He was a former owner of the Baltimore Bayhawks, or an investor in them. And I would definitely reach out to Sam Chambers and the local community, because Houston is a great sports town. Love for Texas to get a lacrosse professional MLL lacrosse team. and getting out to Sam Chambers and those kind of guys would really help sell tickets and be able to provide another expansion team to the MLL. So that's my suggestion, and I wish them both cities luck in getting professional teams.
Yeah, so do I, Coach. I'm looking forward to them, you and the Denver Outlaws, and you and the team traveling out there and playing in Texas and stuff like that. I think it's going to be an automatic feud, kind of like the Broncos and the Cowboys of the early days. You know, just an automatic feud. Houston and Denver Outlaws.
It's going to be a great rivalry.
That's going to be awesome. It's going to be fun, man. It's going to be so much fun.
Well, thank you, Jojo. I appreciate you having me on, and I look forward to seeing you here on the sidelines.
Thank you, Coach, and talk to you soon, brother.
You got it, man. Talk to you.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye-bye. It's a good day for lacrosse with Jojo Wardrover. That was Chris Spengler. Hit him up on the Twitter, you guys. I was doing the Twitter. You know, his Twitter is at CDSpangler9. That's the number 9. At CDSpangler, the number 9. That's his Twitter handle. Find him on Facebook, too. Dude's a cool guy, man. He's a good father, too, as well. We got MLL. It's a good day for lacrosse with Georgia Wardrummer right now.
Timon Lorenzo,
how's it going, brother? This is MLL Houston, everybody. And we're going to talk about majors in lacrosse and MLL Houston hoping and vying to get a team. The All-Star game is going to be here, you guys, right up this coming June. And we're going to talk to Timon Lorenzo about it a little bit more. He has more of an inside connections about filling in MLL Houston, Texas. Hey, Timon, so you just got off the plane. Thank you. I hope you're not getting any kind of jet lag or anything like that right now. But
No problem. Not too big of a change between Houston and New Jersey.
Okay, good. let everybody know about a little inside tracks about MLL Houston.
So my name is Timon Lorenzo, and I grew up in Houston, Texas, and I learned of the sport there. So I'm kind of going back home and bringing the sport with me, because I was lucky enough to move to Princeton, New Jersey, a mecca of the sport itself, and I got to play with a lot of guys around there and learn the sport. So full circle, I was able to get in touch with the commissioner of the MLL, Dave Gross, who is a great guy. If you mm-hmm. haven't gotten a chance to get to know him, he's a funny guy. And what other league can you get in touch with the commissioner? I think that if you go on the MLL site, you could literally get his email. You know, you just directly communicate with the league about what you like, what you don't like. And just to the point of the coach, I'm having a brain, block. The coach mm-hmm. that just was on talking with you, he mentioned a gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he mentioned a gentleman named Sam Chambers in Houston, who was a former investor in a team. So at my sort of day job, I was looking around and trying to find a way to be of service to the MLL, basically. And I called, I have a couple of friends that I've played with that played in the MLL. And I talked to a couple of previous and present owners of teams. And then I called Dave Gross, and he said, the MLL is definitely looking to expand. You know, in the next 1 to 4 years, we're looking to expand by 1 to 4 teams. And he told me about some different places that they were looking at, Atlanta being one that they're planning on expanding into next season. He mentioned Dallas and Houston. And mm-hmm. when a Houston kid grows up there and has a guy from his high school graduate from high school and walk on to the Princeton team and win the national champion. I mean, I tell you, it changes your life. And he came back with a bunch of, you know, just aluminum STX sticks and showed us how to play the sport a little bit. So I guess what I'm saying is that one guy, that's, you know, why when the commissioner said that they were interested in Houston, I said, hey, stop there. You know, I'll start digging there. And there were a couple of other guys. We have now a full sort of partnership of investors and managers in Houston who are and so we started digging and getting in touch with all the Houston folk that are in lacrosse clubs and adults and children. And then we also, you know, had to go around and see if there was a stadium that fit, that had that sort of MLL appeal. Because, you know, I mean, the Outlaw, they pull it off with the Broncos, you know, with the Mile High Stadium. But we were kind of looking to see if we could find somewhere that was, you know, maybe a little smaller. And we found the BBVA Compass Stadium, which is where the MLS team plays in Houston, the Dynamo. And it is a beautiful stadium. So anyway, I feel like I'm being a little long-winded right now, but full story is that we got the All-Star game for Houston because the league needs to see if Houston is strong enough for a team, and the city, in terms of whatever support that they give, and Houston, you know, like was said before, Houston is such a strong sports fan town and city. It's really unbelievable. If you live there for a bit, you feel it. It's like, you know, sports, the love of sport is as strong as, you know, as any sort of cultural thing going on. We are working with the league. We're partnering with the league. The All-Star game is going to be in Houston, June 13th, 2015. And, you know, all the wheels are cranking. People are working on. There's a great youth tournament going on the same weekend, June 12th to June 14th, put on by LB3 Lacrosse and Liam Banks in partnership with Casey Powell. The Casey Powell All-Star Shootout, that's going to be a great time, too. So,
I'm going to let you go forward, but just jump back a little bit. Everybody, in case you guys don't know, you could go to MajorLeagueLacrosse.com right now, MajorLeagueLacrosse.com, and find out how to get tickets right now for the All-Star game that's going to be held. And it's not just that one day, like Timon just said. Casey Powell, LB3, Liam Banks is going to be holding the Casey Powell All-Star shootout game tournament, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And that's bringing into my Lax Youth Nation segment. So, how was the youth growing out there as far as what you could see, Timon? Like, you think they're ready, or you think they're even more than ready for a team in Houston, a Major League Lacrosse franchise?
Well. The answer, no joke. I mean, I don't want to sound like a hopeless salesman here, but Houston's ready. I mean, Houston has the fanship and the support. Let me just try to describe it a little bit so you sort of get the feel. It's a little bit different because if you're from Denver, Baltimore, New Jersey, Connecticut, you know, you see lacrosse in a different way because you see everything from middle schools to high schools and then college, university, and then you've got a MLL team that's close by. So you see all of these very substantial programs that are starting even in middle school and high school. And the college teams, you know, they usually almost all colleges in the Northeast have varsity programs. and then club programs. So the thing is with Houston, it's a little bit of a you can't read it with the same analysis. You kind of have to look at it and realize that it's just that the sport in the region is a little bit behind in terms of like a cycle, so that the colleges don't have varsity programs. They only have club programs, and that's for a good reason. The colleges don't mm-hmm. have varsity programs because they don't yet invest in having the team, because they don't see the potential return for alumni and for professional leagues. So, and then the same thing goes like when you sort of go down the line, Houston has so many club teams. It's crazy. When we announced mm-hmm. the All-Star game at the end of January at the college, the draft for the MLL, the next Monday, three days later, literally, like if you looked on the Twitter accounts for the, 200, 300 clubs that we're in touch with in the Houston area, they all had, talked to each other, knew about it, tweeted about it. So I guess all I'm saying is that instead of there being like middle school, high school,
real quick.
Yeah, instead of middle school, high school, and college programs, they are, people love the sport, so they're sprouting up club programs, clubs. And the clubs play each other, and they travel, and
gotcha.
There are more clubs in Houston, I guaranteed, than, say, Baltimore, New Jersey. Only because they have to, because there's no,
right.
There are lacrosse programs for, like, public schools and private schools, so.
I totally get what you're saying. So Houston is like on fire right now. They're like spreading, and Houston, when Houston gets a team, and I know Houston's going to get a team, and I know Atlanta's going to get a team. Just to let you know, Timon, I had Commissioner Gross on my radio show. I think it was in 2010 or 2011. It was a few years ago, quite a few years ago, and I said, Atlanta and either Houston or Dallas have got to get a Major League Lacrosse team. He's like, you really think so? I go, no doubt about it, man. Atlanta and Houston. This was like quite a few years ago. And I'm glad they didn't take me lightly, because here goes LB3, and here goes Savoy Sports Advisors stepping into the realm and pushing for MLL Houston. And when MLL Houston gets a team, which you guys are going to, man, because you guys got it. Dallas is going to be like, hey, man, we need a team too, and they're going to fight for it. They're going to fight the Dallas Mavericks owner, what's his name?
I don't have his name right on the tip of my tongue.
Shame on me and shame on you for not thinking of his name right now. But and Jerry Jones from the Dallas Cowboys, like I even said to David Gross, I could see them fighting over it. I'm gonna have the Dallas team. No, I'm gonna have the Dallas team. They're gonna fight over it. And also, like I said, I can't wait for that. I think we have Liam Banks on the horn right now. But you're going somewhere right now, and I'm glad that LB3 is coming down and swooping around down from the southern states and coming down up to Houston. The steps that the MLL is doing, it's a beautiful thing to watch from the sideline. Yes, me, myself, I'm like, hurry up, let's make it happen. But I understand and enjoy watching it, the baby steps they're taking, because it's smart. Got to get all the logistics and got to make sure that you guys are ready. Atlanta's proven that they're ready. I totally believe and prove. I think that they proved that they're ready, and they're going to prove it again this coming championship. This coming championship in August, and I know you guys are going to prove it. And we're going to get back to you, Timon Lorenzo from MLR Houston. We're going to get back to you, but I do believe we have Mr. Banks on the horn. Is this you, buddy?
This is me. How we doing, JoJo?
Okay, brother, man, I'm doing good. How's even though you're in Florida right now, I do believe. How is Florida and how is Atlanta treating lacrosse?
Oh, it's great. You know, I'm down here in Florida for a couple of days. Got to hang out with my good friend Mike Powell yesterday and a little bit today.
Nice.
Been on the field doing coaches clinics and working with my Tampa Tarpons program and doing what I love. You know, I sit in the office a lot these days, and the time out on the field is the time I love. So it's been a good couple of days so far.
And just a quick shout-out, because I said I would, Coach Chris Spangler, the strength and conditioning coach for the champion Denver Outlaws, he said to give you a shout-out for a fellow Syracuse alumni.
Oh, I love it. We got a great Syracuse family, great tradition of good people that fit mm-hmm. together. So we'll give them a shout-out right back.
Right on, and I will let him know. Awesome.
I want to give a shout out to my Princeton Tiger brethren too.
Oh. There you go.
We're right back in 2001.
Exactly. Very, very cool, man. So how is Liam? So how is LB3? Doing what you guys are doing, man, because you guys are doing some straight-up phenomenal things out there, and not just Atlanta, not just to Florida, but you guys are spreading out to St. Louis and everything like that. But even more importantly, what I'm concerned, and I want to know about it all, but I'm more concerned about Atlanta getting that MLL franchise, man.
Yeah, you know, it's we've been working hard on it, you know, and I think I heard you right before you had me on talk a little bit about, you know, it is a process, and you know, going through the process of the due diligence and making sure that you set yourself up for success are extremely important in whatever market and whatever you expand into. But Atlanta has definitely had the test samples to show that it can be successful. It's been mentioned many times on many different shows. The facility at Kennesaw State University, Fifth Third Bank Stadium, and what they do, it's, you know, it's my favorite place to watch the lacrosse game. It's absolutely gorgeous, and the administration there, Von Williams and Marty Elliott, who runs the facility there, have done a great job and really professional. So you know, we're just taking it slowly. We know it's an investment for the right person, and in the meantime, what we're doing is making sure that events that we run or that MLL run are successful events, whether it's the MLL championship game coming back down this year, the Cobb County Classic, which we ran with Duke and Denver, Northwestern and Virginia, and Syracuse and St. John's, and just showing the people in Atlanta that and around the country that we're ready for big-time lacrosse, whether it's Major League Lacrosse or if it's Georgia or Georgia Tech going D1. We're ready, we're thirsty, and we want it.
Right, man, you guys are going to get it. Hey, do you think when the MLL does get it, when Atlanta does get awarded that next MLL franchise, do you think it's going to be at Kennesaw? Because that Kennesaw stadium, man, it's a beautiful stadium, and I enjoyed it a lot. I was like, man, I could totally see a team playing right here, man. Do you think that'll be the stadium if the MLL does get it there?
Yeah, I would think that would be the stadium. It's a really good location for lacrosse. As you said, it's a beautiful stadium. I think it's the second nicest stadium compared to where the MLL All-Stars games can be played in Houston. That's going to be a beautiful venue. Mm-hmm. I think the soccer stadiums work so well for lacrosse, the perfect amount of people. Mm-hmm. When you're in a large football stadium, it may be a little big, but, you know, Kennesaw State would be the ideal spot. I think the game changer in all this would be if a guy like Arthur Blank jumped in. You know, a guy like that who owns stadiums, and as the MLS coming into Atlanta, if a guy of that stature came in, I could see it moving to, you know, where the Falcons would play in the future. But, you know, right now, I don't know if that would be a possibility. So I would say that Kennesaw State would wind up being the home location, which is great. As I said, great field, great location, great people running the facility, and a great place for a fan. I mean, it's unbelievable, Jojo. You were there.
Yes.
It's not a bad seat in the house.
Yeah. There was, even though I was like on that stage area with the drum, it was like, man, like, yeah, I was looking around, like, you could be anywhere in the stadium and love it.
It's gorgeous. When you watch it on TV, most people think it's AstroTurf, but it's actually grass. And, you know, the ground crew that is there does an unbelievable job of getting that field back up and going after having events there. So, I'm just really thankful for the relationship that I've been able to build with the people at KSU to run events there. The Cobb Travel and Visitors Bureau and the Sports Alliance in Cobb County have been great to work with. So I think that, you know, when Major League Lacrosse is ready to come in, there's no better county in Georgia than Cobb County when it comes to supporting, initiatives like this.
And talk about this, because we're going to get back to Timon Lorenzo from MLL Houston. What about the youth? Because I know you got the Atlanta Youth Lacrosse, and we have LV3 out there. You guys are doing some good things out there, man, with the youth. And how ready are the youth for an MLL team?
Oh, I mean, they're so excited to see, you know, those kids the past couple of weekends look up to the Duke players and the Denver and the Syracuse players and, you know, aspire to be like them. You know, as you know, it takes ignition for young players to, you know, work to fulfill their dreams, and it takes role models within the community to make that happen. And, you know, within the 8 years that I've been down in the Atlanta area, I've tried to expose the kids to the best players in the game. You know, we've had, obviously, Casey works with me and Mike Powell and Scott Ratliff. We've also had Jesse Schwartzman and John Galloway, Joel White, and even college players now, Kevin Rice and members of the Syracuse lacrosse team will come down and work with the kids during the summer. So these kids are jazzed. They're really lacrosse-savvy kids who understand, you know, back 8 years ago when I first got to Atlanta, you know, I don't think there was, 10 kids that were going to play college lacrosse. And, you know, our LB3 Atlanta team has over 30 kids from the 2015 class that are going on to play. And I think a lot of that has to do with the ignition that they've had, the ability to be coached by Kevin Rice, Dom Laminara, Billy Ward, whoever it may have been over the past couple of summers, guys, you know, TJ Kemp from North Carolina, all these guys who were successful at D1 and pro have come in to teach these kids. So they're really savvy about lacrosse. They love the games. The community is wonderful. The lacrosse community supports Major League Lacrosse, supports college lacrosse. And I think that, you know, we're ready. It's amazing, amazing to see the growth of lacrosse, and not only in numbers, but the level of play is outstanding. We have Nate Solomon, who's going to Syracuse next year, who's got over 500 career points and going to be up near 600. I mean, I don't care where you are. That kid can play. To come out of Atlanta, Georgia, is pretty unbelievable.
Very cool. Very cool, man. I'm digging it. I'm digging it, Liam. And then one thing, though, how is JoJo Wardrummer going to get to the KC Pal tournament and the MLL All-Star game to start drumming for these kids? How can we make that happen?
We're gonna have to talk about this offline, but I know the Savoy Sports Group will love to have you. I'd love to have you drumming there. We're just so excited to be a part of All-Star Weekend. You know, last year we were part of Major League Lacrosse Weekend with our 7-on-7 tournament. Once again, we'll be doing a tournament, a KC Pal shootout for a Major League Championship, but more importantly, the All-Star Game. It is going to be such a great event for Houston, for Texas. They say everything is big in Texas, and the KC Pal shootout is going to be no exception to that rule. Having the Major League Lacrosse draft at the shootout, I mean, that's great. How do we get you drumming in the background so that everybody who's watching the draft from afar and from near can hear that drum going? So we'll figure out a way to make it work. But I'm just really excited that the MLL has a confidence in LB3 lacrosse and also Casey Powell and his brand to be involved with these type of events. And the Savoy Group has been absolutely unbelievable in welcoming us into the community. I've been out there. Casey's been out there from the U.S. lacrosse people to just the regular dads who are in it because they love the game. Everybody's been so nice and supportive, and we just cannot wait to come down to Houston execute on the tournament, have a great time at the All-Star game, and you know, be a part of groundbreaking history in the state of Texas.
Jojo, if I can just jump in on one thing that Liam just said. The draft at the Casey Powell All-Star Shootout seems like it is going to be such a good time. We were just looking at and talking about what kind of what that night might look like, just in terms of the location. I was just down in Houston, and that is going to be one fun night. I just wanted to add that to what Liam was saying about the Casey Powell All-Star Shootout.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible.
We've been working
hard to plan it, and to be able to bring the draft there to where the tournament's going to be, so both boys and girls will play on Friday night at the tournament, and then we're going to have clinics lined up with the All-Stars, with the participants from the tournament, as well as Kara Canizera, who, you know, being from Denver, you know, she's an absolute stud to work with the girls, and they're going to have the opportunity that, you know, on another level, the parents will have their social area, and then after everything's done, we all come together for this draft, and MLL's done a really good job of promoting the All-Star game and the draft through, you know, whether I think they're running a contest right now where, you know, you could be a coach of a team, and, you know, there's some really exciting things that are going to be going on, and the excitement that this isn't just about, you know, one or two days. This is about a whole weekend experiencing, you know, what Houston has to offer, experiencing, you know, tournament play, experiencing an All-Star game, experiencing clinics, and getting access. There's no access like the MLL. You can't get access like football. You can't get access in other sports, and that's part of it. And I would say that, you know, if I was a fortune teller and I could see in the future, I would say this is going to, you know, Houston's been working hard to grow as a lacrosse area, but they're a non-traditional area. I would say that this type of thing is what helps propel them to grow at a more rapid rate.
I just want to say I'm unbiased, but I totally agree with what Liam said.
Yeah, I agree. Whether I'm biased or not biased, I 100% agree. And you know, it's Liam, it just solidifies what my thought process was. And to you, Timon, the lacrosse community, the lacrosse family, especially when it comes to the Major League Lacrosse, you guys are showing that we could do battle on the battlefield, but when it comes to like you know, Atlanta getting ready to have a team, their own MLL team, Houston get ready to own their own MLL team, and then so on. And then it's going to be Dallas, and then we might work our way back up to Chicago or I don't know who. You know what I mean? But the whole family is working together for one goal, and that's to grow the professional lacrosse game to a whole new level as far as spreading the word and just running in and out of the crease. Like Brett Kreiner will be like, whoa, what are they doing? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the lacrosse world's a special world, and it's a special community. And you know, one of the things that I loved when, you know, we first started talking with the Story Group was their overall vision of what this could be. And you get real excited when you get to work with groups like this who envision lacrosse on a much bigger, have the willingness to share resources and share information for the overall goal. And that's what we try and do. We try and align ourselves with great partners, and we've been successful in doing that. And the more partnerships and more working together, you know, whether it's club teams working together, different businesses working together, financial groups with lacrosse groups, whatever it is only going to help this sport grow faster and faster. And there's not many that you know, I've tried to work with who haven't been willing to A, support or be a part of or partner on. So it is a special community, and it's something that, you know, helps develop lifelong friendships and relationships, which, you know, at the end of the day, it's extremely important.
Yes, it is. And check this out, man. Okay, so Timon and Liam. Okay, You guys have my 100% support on getting the team in Atlanta and getting the team in Houston. I know it's going to happen. But what, how can I say, the geographics are also playing, I think, a very big and very important role, just like where Atlanta is located and you know, the Atlanta or the Atlanta suburbs. And same thing with Houston. Do you guys agree with me that even the geographics are very important to get in that franchise? Because I think they're great spots.
You know,
like traveling wise and everything.
So totally, and one of the things I think is important too is non-traditional markets. You know, in Baltimore and you know Philly, we see that Philly hasn't been, you know, Philly wasn't successful, and you would think that wow, there's so many kids playing there, but you know what happens is there's so many college D1 programs in Baltimore and Philly, and kids are, you know, spoiled in a sense. They see great lacrosse all the time. And that's why I think when you start looking at some of these non-traditional markets and in some of these areas that, you know, have a flow of families and good sports towns and just good communities, it's a no-brainer for the MLL to come into them. And then when you start talking about geography, if you look towards the future where Florida Launch has a team and Atlanta has a team and Houston has a team and maybe you find one in Nashville or you know, another part of Florida, and then you can start breaking them up into divisions like other sports. But, you know, the main thing is that there's a certain model that has to be followed, and it includes butts in the stands, you know. The end result includes got to put butts in the stands, and you know, the advantage of being in a non-traditional market is that they are not spoiled. They don't see the best lacrosse week in and week out. And they're able to attach that team, much like Charlotte has done. They've done an unbelievable job. Tim McFilmy has done a great job down there running that organization.
Yep.
But, you know, they are the pro sports team there. So, you know, continuing to educate people on lacrosse and grow the game will only help in these non-traditional markets. But, again, I think the geographic locations and being able to someday break them up into divisions to help keep travel expenses and whatnot down will be important and vital to the longevity of Major League Lacrosse.
I agree. And check this out. We have about 2.5 minutes left, you guys, on It's a Good Day for Lacrosse with JoJo Wardrummer. And I got a question for you, Liam, and then a question for you, Timon. We got to do this in approximately 2 minutes. Okay. Liam, let's start off with you. Okay. Atlanta. Okay, you have the Atlanta Falcons, you have the Atlanta Hawks, you know, as far as the NFL and the NBA. What is there any name that could pop off at the top of your head? What would be a good lacrosse name for your great state of Georgia?
Well, I would love to have the Atlanta Power or Georgia Power, just because Georgia Power is such a large company in the Atlanta area, and it'd be great to lock them in for you know, $250,000 sponsorship to name the team. I think that helped the bottom line right off the bat and helped towards some success. So the Georgia Power is one of the things that have been thrown around in some circles. I think that'd be a great marriage of local business and you know, professional franchise. But you know, I think that the best way to do it is to open it up to the fans. The fans is who you want to appeal to.
Yeah.
I think that you know, Charlotte doing that. And, a couple other places. I think that's a really good way to go about it.
So maybe like you could, because I would think you would have some kind of say somewhat. You know, of course, I think so. But
yep.
maybe you could come up with a list of like, start off with 5 to 10 names, like maybe even 7 names, and then start narrowing it down. You know, like what Charlotte did. How about you, Timon Lorenzo for MLL Houston? What do you think? Houston Oilers or what do you think?
No, actually, JoJo, that's funny that you say that, because the first name that I thought was awesome would have been to go towards the Oilers, but the league reminded me that that the Oilers will always be sort of retired out of respect for the team.
Good point.
But I should, you know, I can't answer this without the you know, the other partners having their opinions. You know, people have had other opinions that are good. You know, the 1836 Texans. That was when Texas was actually an independent nation. That's kind of a fun one.
Oh.
My personal vote is for the Houston Blaze, B-L-A-Z-E, like a trailblazer, or because it means a lot of things. Blaze of fire, blaze on a trail. That's my personal opinion.
Wow, I like it. I like the power. I like the blazers. Blaze, that's very cool, man. You guys, everybody, it's a good day for lacrosse with Dojo Wardrummer. You can listen to the show at any time. Just tune in, find the links, tap it in. And we have one more quick thing. Give everybody a shout-out as far as what is your website.
Yep, that's great. Any information that you need, you can go to www.lb3lacrosse.com. Information on the Casey Powell shootouts under tournament. It's going to be an incredible weekend. And quick message to any young attackmen out there. If you want to get good, watch Syracuse's Kevin Rice and Dylan Donahue play. They're amazing. They get the 5-5. Try and figure out who that player is you want to be like. Watch them on TV. Go in the backyard and be them. And maybe someday you have the opportunity that those guys have.
There you go. There you go. Very cool. Timon, any parting words, Timon and LL Houston?
Just that the All-Star Game in Houston on June 13th, we're hoping that it'll be just a very, very fun thing to be doing in Houston on that night, and let's hope that it brings good things to Houston for the MLL in the future.
Oh, man, I can't wait, man. I'm looking forward to I want to be there so bad. I could just see the tailgating, having lots of fun at the tailgate, big barbecues going on. Big food in Big Texas, Houston, and I can see the Dallas people coming down there and say, "Hey, man, we want a team, man. We want a team too." Very cool. Thank you. Yeah, right. I would like to thank Chris Spengler, coach, strength and conditioning coach for their world champion, the Denver Outlaws of Major League Lacrosse. I would like to thank Timon Lorenzo from MLL Houston, Savoy Sports Advisors, LB3. Liam Banks, and a shout out to Casey Powell. I know he's busy right now, so a shout out still to Casey Powell for doing everything he's doing for Florida, for Atlanta, and even for Houston, and everything else that he does for lacrosse, man. Unbelievable, man. Thank you guys so much for being on. It's a good day for lacrosse.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Have a good night.
Yeah. See you later.
You too, brother. See you guys. See you guys later. Right on.
Bye,
Liam, talk to you soon, brother. Yes, man. Right on. Everybody, find the links, listen to the show, and go to MajorLeagueLacrosse.com and find out and get the tickets, man. Find out and get the tickets for the championship game in August and for the June festivities for the All-Star Game and the Casey Powell Tournament shootout, man. It's going to be lots of fun, man. I'm telling you. Woo!